Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 11, episode 2 of Das Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
For December 19th, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Cuck Norris. And I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
That's right. It's your boy, Miles. Don't lie to the FBI. And you know what? Shout outs to the GOAT. Kobe Bryant got two jerseys retired.
Ooh.
Yeah, Jack, we want to talk about it.
All be edited.
We
want to
talk spicy. But you know what? Even though I hate Kobe Bryant, I mean, as a Laker fan, I didn't like him as a person. But you can't deny the man was talented and did great things. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah. It was like a poor man's version of Michael Jordan. So, I mean, that's still good.
But okay.
It's still like his game was entirely modeled off of Jordan. His speaking style was modeled off of Jordan.
I'm glad this is coming out because
before
we were talking about this, you were just like balling your fists up. Like, I don't care about Kobe.
He's boring to me. He's very boring because I was a big Jordan fan. And so seeing somebody just try and be Jordan his whole career was depressing.
Well, he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, he's very good. And we are thrilled to be joined by the hilarious stand-up comedian Maggie May. What's going on?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We're great. We're thrilled to have you here.
We just had to get our toxic masculinity out of the way before we talk to you.
That's the name of our other podcast, Toxic Masculinity.
Sick
Masculinity.
All day.
Maggie, what is something that you have searched in the not-too-distant past that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Okay, so I looked up recently, I remember from like first grade, there was like a yogurt commercial, and then like the whole point of the yogurt commercial was that there was nothing on the bottom, and they made a little song about it, and in the commercial, they were like, nothing on the bottom, and then they showed like a bare butt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just a bare ass on a commercial.
Was that Yoplait?
I think so. It sounds like some yeah. shit.
Because Yoplait was like a European yogurt company that thought they were really cool.
Well,
I do remember that commercial too.
They premixed the fruit, which was a good idea, I think. I was always a Yoplait fan.
I loved
growing up.
I used to just eat the real simple vanilla one.
They were so edgy in their commercials, though.
Well, it was the 80s, you know?
Yeah. Cocaine. Old commercials are just the best thing to watch because it's like, it shows you how much just our culture has changed. They're like so weird. Just watching commercials from like 10 years ago is so strange.
Well, it's funny now because Kit Kat, like, have you seen their new commercials? They are straight up trying to do 80s style commercials.
Are they really?
Yeah. And it's like a little frustrating to me as like someone, like, now I feel old. I'm like, they're not doing it right. That's not what the 80s looked like.
Wait, how are they doing 80s commercials?
Like showing, like, you know, it's shot, like, meant to look grainy and like the dreadly aesthetic. Like, they almost want you to believe that this commercial was like pulled from the archives.
Yeah, like, super throwback.
Yeah, right, exactly.
All right. Well, what is something that you think is overrated?
Star Wars, first of all, is overrated.
Two days in a row.
Go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
Say it.
Okay, so yesterday, Jakees, our guest yesterday, he said it was overrated because of the hype. He just said the hype does not match to what, you know, like people are getting too excited for nothing. So why is it overrated to you? Is it because of the hype or is it because you're a Trekkie?
Because I'm a Trekkie. That whole franchise is overrated. Y'all need to be more excited about Star Trek because Star Trek was the are you kidding me? Star Trek ruled.
I'm not a Trekkie. I only like Guinan.
Well, Guinan ruled too.
Because, you know, her hat game was on point.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, she was Queen Latifah.
Shout out to Whoopi Goldberg. But yeah, Guinan was by far my favorite Star Trek character.
I don't feel like you have to choose. Do you feel like you have to go Trek or you just like you were saying before that you've watched a Star War?
One war.
One war.
Which war was that?
It was episode 3.
Oh, so you saw fucking the Return of the Sith?
And I didn't even see all of it. I came in late to the theater.
Wow.
So it was all right.
I mean, sorry, I should say Revenge of the Sith before I get dragged.
Oh, my God. And you were just so overwhelmed by how inferior it was to Star Trek that you couldn't watch anymore?
I feel like it's a coffee tea situation. Like,
right.
No one
okay.
likes coffee and tea similarly. You like one better than the other.
Right.
And the one you should like better than the other is Star Trek.
All right.
Clearly better.
And what's something that's underrated?
Antenna television.
Okay.
Terrestrial
broadcast over the airwaves television.
Yeah, like just regular ass TV. Like,
yeah.
I haven't had antenna television in a while. I recently moved here from Texas. I've got an antenna television. Shout out to Janine Brito for giving it to me.
Okay.
But they've got some quality shows on there.
You mean like NBC and CBS?
Yeah, they have a channel called Laugh, and it has just sitcoms from like the 90s. It's got like, I watched a bunch of Ellen yesterday. They have Roseanne on there.
Whoa.
A bunch.
So they've got like cable on the antenna television?
It seems like they've got a channel with just vintage game shows.
Wow.
Wait, so do you have one of those like slap up like HDTV ones that you put on the window?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that just shows you how far we've gone, right? Because I don't even have cable. I have like digital, like subscription, DirecTV stuff. And to know that like I'm so ignorant of what's on like broadcast television, like yeah. I found like, wait, so what's going on in that old planet we abandoned?
And it's not even
game
new.
Shows? I heard tell of reruns of old sitcoms.
They're about to start doing a Supermarket Sweep in January on Buzzer.
I always loved those shows because it made you feel like, What would it be like? Because, you know, as a kid, at a time, like, I would be like, hey, can I get this cereal? No. So, if I was on Supermarket Sweeps, I could have whatever I want.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever want to go on, like, any reality show or game show in particular? You were like, I could be so good at this, or, like, the real world.
Oh, Guts.
Were you ever like, I want to be on
Guts.
Real world?
Guts.
Guts?
On Nickelodeon.
Man. Yeah.
I would have fucked Guts up.
Is Guts the one where you're just on a bungee cord the whole time?
Kind of, basically. It was like really safe for kids, like, basically. It's like, we don't want any mishaps.
Yeah. Although, it's like American Gladiators on bungee cords.
Legend of the Hidden Temple would have been cool, too.
Right.
Just because, like, I always remember watching it as a kid, and, like, whenever there were, like, things where they had to, ask the kids questions, like, of their minds, like, trivia or things like that, I was always, like, it was, like, kid Jeopardy mixed with a little bit of, you know, obstacle course.
Yeah, mixed with like a terrifying obstacle course where like these giant heads come out of nowhere and like grab you. Wasn't that Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Yeah, there were like
that shit was terrifying.
There were like sections where it was a little bit weird. Like these old adults in costumes are like, hey, don't try and get out of my grasp.
Yeah.
Like boulders would fall on you. Yeah. And I knew like they're like probably not real boulders. They're probably like big piles of
like
foam and stuff.
A lot of
those kids died.
A lot of kids died.
Never made it out of the Hidden Temple.
If you go on a Live Leak, you can watch those episodes that never aired.
there are some great just performances on what was the video game show on?
Oh shit!
It was a Nickelodeon video game
Nick
show.
Nick Arcade. Yes.
And there are some. There's this one girl's performance on that where she's just like so bad at the game that it's the most entertaining thing I've ever seen. People can Google it probably, like the worst Nick Arcade player ever or something.
Right.
Because she just can't get like the green screen thing. You know how like they were on a green screen? So she's just like looking at the green screen, keeps going the wrong way. It's really amazing. All right, we gotta get into format. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, take a temperature of the global shared consciousness of our species. Where are we at today, Miles?
I think we're heading into fever territory with this tax bill coming through.
We're very sick.
It's getting hot. It's getting hot.
It's not good. And the way we like to open up is by asking our guest what is something that our national shared consciousness believes that is incorrect based on your experience. Like, what's a myth that we all believe? That you know not to be true, Maggie.
Okay, this is going to be pretty deep because this is kind of a myth I've been thinking about for a while.
Okay.
Because I got a theory behind it as well. That I guess simply said is that everybody, I guess it's everybody is equal is simple, but I think that there is a conspiracy to create disposable people.
Mm.
Interesting.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So can you give an example of where you see this myth manifested?
Okay. So we look at, you know, the Republican Party as the one that's like trying to protect wealth, you know, the more, I guess, wealthier party or the party of the wealthy, I guess. They're the ones behind the whole like, you know, we can't have any more abortions, but also we can't take care of any of these kids.
Right.
You know, once they're out here.
They're like, we're not going to fund CHIP. Like,
yeah. Right. So I feel like that sets people up, you know, to have, you know, kids that, you know, maybe they didn't want or kids that maybe they wouldn't have had otherwise, you know, and they don't have anything to take care of them. They're not going to start off at equal footing as people who have, you know, you know, parents that were like, yeah, we definitely want a kid right now, you know?
Right.
So they are more likely to become vulnerable people that now these rich people that were trying to get everyone born and everything like that can now lure off into, you know, wherever and hunt for sport.
Oh.
Whoa.
Or no, that's a take them off and, you know, start screwing them when they're young, because, you know, like, it's, there's a whole, if there's now a population of people that are, like, you know, essentially disposable, you know, maybe no one's going to be looking for them, or, you know, no one's really taking care of that, that it leaves an entire population that there's no one looking for them, you know, maybe they're not as protected as other people, and they're vulnerable to people who have a lot of money and a lot of resources, and maybe not the best, you know, intentions.
Yeah, and while we have yet to conduct the investigation that uncovers the Republican sport hunting humans island that we all know is out there, like, one thing we all do know is the prison industrial complex, where they actually make money off of all of the people in prison. Every other country in the world thinks it's insane how many of our people are in prison. In America,
because
we
just have
people
money
are making a lot of money off.
We have money making schemes for everything. People are like, "Wait, you guys make crazy profits off healthcare?"
Right?
Like, "Oh, you guys make money off putting people in jail?"
Yes.
Like, yeah. Hi, welcome to America. We have commodified everything.
That's
interesting, man. Yeah, we are definitely
Didn't
like.
That sound like it could happen.
Well,
like,
I mean, with this massive redistribution of wealth that's going to happen, I mean, yes, we will begin to see people, you know, become made to be much more vulnerable, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, and I mean...
But let's stay tuned for the sport hunting part.
Right.
Although, who knows? I mean, like...
It's already cartoonishly, like, unequal, and we are recording this as they are in the process of passing a bill that is going to redistribute things from the most absurdly, like, have-nots to the people who are already absurdly wealthy. So,
but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, we will get into that later. But that's a good one. That is interesting food for thought. All right, let's get into some stories, you guys. Let's start up top with Benghazi.
Benghazi.
which is what we call just the constant updating of famous men who are sex crims. And...
today's newest honoree is TJ Miller.
Yeah, so a story came out, and the first thing you read about it is that it's from 15 years ago when he was in college in Washington, D.C., and it was a thing that got handled by the campus police. But then when you get into the details, it's really fucked up stuff, and, you know, there are multiple people who are corroborating the victim's story, and, you know, it involved him punching her and, you know, violating her in different ways with different objects, and just really fucked up stuff. You know, somebody who was particularly vulnerable, who, like, didn't, you know, had just moved there, and I don't know, it was all sorts of fucked up. So, yeah, there's that. He's denying that it ever happened, but I think there's been rumors going around for a while that this is something he had in his past. So now that's out in the open.
I mean, because he looked like such a clean cut guy,
right? I mean, yeah, part of his bit is that he has sex offender facial hair. Like, that's like that is part of his whole thing. So
all right, well,
goodness,
peace out, TJ Miller.
Yeah, we'll see.
Why would you even say something like that if you knew in your past that you know, like, if you know that you used to steal mad stuff, why would you be like, I look like a klepto? Why would you even, like, bring light on that for people to be like, you know what? He did look like that guy the campus police was talking to a few years ago.
It's an aggressive defense, like, really trying to get out in front of it.
Right. And
you're
yeah,
like,
because
me? He did a bit.
Right. He did joke about it, right? He used to like tell jokes about
apparently,
how
like how he punched a woman in the face.
Right.
Like, yo, what the fuck?
He was like, yeah, you know, I used to hit women or something like that. There were like jokes that he made trying to like, you know, get ahead of it, maybe. I don't know. But it's
And a lot of the articles say it was a, like, I guess, an open secret.
Yeah. Just and for people who don't know who TJ Miller is, because we're talking about him like he's a huge celebrity.
Yeah, he was the star of the Emoji Movie.
we're comedy fans, so he's a pretty successful stand-up who
That's not where I know him from.
who was also in Yogi Bear or Yogi Bear 3D. So that's where you probably know him. He's also the dude with weird facial hair from Silicon Valley who just got written off.
Yeah. And that was another thing, too, is like that was a contested story of like why he was, you know, whether he quit or HBO was like, you got to go.
Right.
But anyway.
Talked a lot of shit about Thomas Middleditch in the aftermath of that. Thomas Middleditch is super funny, dude. So I'm team Middleditch, but we'll see how this shakes out. And then also in the realm of Benghazi. So the Panthers owner, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, one of the younger NFL teams with Cam Newton as a quarterback. They're having a great season. It came out that he was saying kind of creepy things to his, people he worked with in the front office, such as, what was it, Miles?
He was, oh, man, like, it was stuff like, show me how you, like, you know, apparently, like, they had jeans day, which is, like, a weird fucking office if, like, you have jeans day.
No, that was definitely something he came up with. It was like, all right, we're having jeans
day.
Like, seeing them blue dungarees.
You mean casual Fridays? No, jeans day.
Jeans Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's not even alliterative. Anyway, so basically like one of the comments that seems to be out there the most was where he was telling female employees, show me how you wiggle to get those jeans up. I bet you had to lay down on your bed to fit into those jeans. Did you step into those jeans or do you have to jump into them? Okay. Mm.
Foghorn, Leghorn.
Yeah, right. Who says wiggle in those? What the fuck?
Was that the only thing he was accused of, or that's just like one of the things?
I think there are many other things.
But yeah, so
there are other allegations too, but the ones that seem to be kind of like he's been saying inappropriate shit. Apparently, another thing too is he also allegedly directed a racial slur at a former team scout too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so an African American scout.
Yeah.
So, you know.
He sounds like a real piece of shit. Said, okay, I'm going to sell the team because this obviously is not good for the people who I work with, which stand up guy, it sounds like. And, Diddy and Steph Curry have put their names out there as people who want to, buy the Panthers, which is kind of dope, actually. It's like one of the cool things about Benghazi is we're having like shitty people get pushed to the side and like cooler people get opportunities who might not normally get opportunities.
I mean, you know, although if you'd believe Diddy had Tupac killed, you know, that might also be a problem. But anyway, right. That's a whole other show that we don't have to talk about.
All right.
but no, yeah, I think it'll be great because, yeah, I guess Diddy put out a tweet. He's like, yo, I'm trying to buy the Panthers. And Steph Curry was like, hey, sign me up. And then even Colin Kaepernick was like, hey, I'd like to join too, which would be like the ultimate clapback.
Right. It's
like,
yeah.
Oh, guess what? Now I'm one of the first black owners.
Right.
So.
Well, hey, I got five on it.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
If y'all are looking for investors,
Yeah, you could raise $2 billion, probably.
Well, like Green Bay is owned by the community of Green Bay, so.
Is that through stock?
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I mean, I'm sure someone in the Zeit Gang will correct us, tell us how that ownership scheme works out in Green Bay. But yeah, I think that's interesting news. But I also, too, I feel like, I think, was it Mark Cuban? Someone was saying, like, it's not a good bet because, like, the NFL is kind of in decline.
Right.
So who knows? Because it is tough, like, when you see players still getting injured out there. Like, who was it on the Texans who, like, damn near had a seizure after getting a concussion 2 weeks ago?
Oh, their quarterback Savage.
Yeah. Like, it was scary to see. And, like, when you look at that and you're like, how long can this sport go, really?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Ugh. But anyway, hey, Diddy, do your thing. Diddy bop all over that field.
Mm.
Do what you got to do.
All right.
Take that.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. So we wanted to talk about, you know, the premise of most of our articles about the 2016 election has been about how brilliant and diabolical Russia's influence campaign was and how it was like espionage judo where they were using our system's freedoms against us. But it turns out, like, this was not an original idea on Russia's behalf, and America has been doing this since World War II pretty frequently. I think one of the experts said one out of every 9 elections since World War II that were supposedly free elections have been fucked with by foreign countries and intervened on, and America is basically the leading fuck with her.
Yeah, it was like one of those moments where we were like, I can't believe they meddled with our elections. And it's like,
yo,
hey, y'all read history before?
Right.
We started this. We're the fucking meddlers on the roof.
Yeah.
Can't believe they took our bit.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Fucking joke thieves.
Yeah, I mean, I've been alive for 9 elections, and this
you're
is...
You're going to say 9-11 for some reason.
I've been alive since 9-11, you guys.
That's when I
just
woke
a little
up.
Fact about me. and one of them has been fucked with, so now I know how the world feels. But we wanted to bring in super producer Anna Hosnier, who is Iranian and... you know, therefore has ties to a country that is
one of the first,
the beneficiary of one of these, one of America's greatest works of intervention meddling.
Salam.
Salam. Welcome.
Yeah, because people always wonder with Iran, they're like, how did it become like this? Like, when did it get so crazy? It's like, well, it started when we overthrew one of their greatest leaders.
Right. So can you tell the story about...
So during World War One and Two, the U.S. and... the great of Britons, they really relied on Iran for, like, basically to take their oil and use it for war with their machines and all that. And then Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh, if you will.
Wow. And that is the
I can't.
American pronunciation.
You can, so you will.
Yeah, so he was prime minister from 51 to 53. And then he really opposed foreign intervention when it came to, like, oil and all that. And he wanted to share the oil with England 50-50, or Great Britain, really. But the British did not care for that. So they planned a coup that overthrew Mossadegh and said that he was, you know, all these, like, war crimes. It was all these things that they, like, accused him of. And they took the Shah, Mohammad Reza Shah Pahlavi, who was technically in exile at that time, and they put him in power and then proceeded to bribe him for years so they could have complete control over Iran's oil. And that went on for a while until the Iranian people freaked out and held their own coup to overthrow the Shah. And then Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini took power and became the supreme leader, and then married government and religion. And that's when the Islamic Republic was born.
Right.
And just, we're still in that today.
Yeah. If you look back to, if you just Google Iran women 1960s, you'll find pictures of, you know, Iran in the 60s, like, looked like America in the 60s. Women were, like, wearing mini skirts and, like, you know, just were dressed like everybody else.
I have all these photos of my mom wearing, like, the flyest gear with, like, fat wedge heels, like, woo! Like, having the time of her life. And then,
And then
she came to America.
Right. So, and that's just one example. This is kind of America's jam. This is how they, you know, they spread democracy around the globe, but then they, you know, the whole idea of democracy is the people get to choose, and they're like, well, that's a little, that's not great for us, because the people choosing means that the guy who we don't want to win might win, so.
Right, and then also there's, like, it has, like, the same elements of even what happened with us with Russia, right? Like Kermit Roosevelt, who's in the CIA, went over there to, like, basically astroturf and create a fake opposition movement against Mossadegh. And, like, to create this idea or the visual idea that, like, oh, people are out here protesting, like, to really try and influence people, when that wasn't the case. And it's, again, it's now we're seeing that morph in more nuanced ways clearly now, like, with Twitter and social media, that you can create these bots and, like, create this idea that, like, oh, there are people who don't like this. Oh, maybe is this bad or whatever? So, yeah, it is a grand tradition that we initially started, I guess, like, realistically, after World War II, was, like, fight communism, right? Because that was the way to stop the spread.
Right. And, you know, they went over to Italy, and Italy had the Democratic Christian Party that was pro-American and the Democratic Socialist Party that was pro-USSR. And the U.S. intervened with, you know, funneling money to the, you know, pro-U.S. side, and that side won the election. They were like, whoa! That worked out great.
Right.
We're going to do this from now on. And they just kept doing it. And, you know, it, sometimes it was just, you know, helping them with by funding them with lots and lots of dark money. You know, the leader of Afghanistan after 9/11, Hamid Karzai, was, you know, basically getting giant briefcases of cash from the CIA, like, pretty recently. in order to, you know, pay off warlords in Afghanistan and, you know, to maintain remain in power. And I think they helped him come to power in the first place. You know, his family, his brother already had a relationship with the CIA. But then there's more problematic examples like the removal and assassination of the Congolese leader Patrice Lumumba in 1961. There was a really popular socialist Chilean president, Salvador Allende, whose government was swept aside by a military coup led by
Pinochet.
You might have heard of him.
Allende,
one of
too,
history's great monsters.
They were just like, yo, this guy, he looks like he might like give, you know, power to the people and possibly invite the USSR or Cuba in. And yeah, so again, Pinochet, who is also like a graduate of the School of the Americas, which was like our training ground for like
dictators.
Dictators be like, this is how you interrogate people. This is how you do covert operations. This is how you disappear people. Like, he went in with a skill set we gave him, basically, and it's, yeah, look, it's a grand tradition, and it's interesting, though, how little, though, we actually, how very little articles come out about this in the midst of this whole scandal with Russia, because it's, I guess, allowed us to finally, like, turn, like, look the other way or maybe ignore that this isn't, you know, our hands are very dirty, too.
Oh, yeah.
Country.
And like a lot of the articles we're using as sources were from during the election.
Right.
But when people were like, ah, but it won't matter. But, you know, America has a history of doing this, too. So we shouldn't be freaking out too much. But it doesn't matter because Trump is going to lose. Ha ha. Like we all know.
Right.
And that didn't turn out to be the case. The Russia thing ended up helping more than I think the mainstream, the MSM, thought it would.
Well, yeah, it was. I was reading this article that was talking about how a lot of Putin's foes, like his enemies in Russia, are like sick of how the media is covering it in the United States, because we're painting Putin as this like super suave, like hyper intelligent mastermind that, and like it paints the Russian government as this like very well organized, like singularly focused body that can just execute things like on command, when that isn't the case.
Right.
So it's like creating, even on even in Russia, they're like, yo, like you're giving people here the impression that like Putin like has his shit together when he doesn't, because it's very like we've just needed this like boogeyman to sort of embody like the whole operation, when it seems like there are many more moving parts than just that.
Yeah, I think that's generally how we like to treat people who are adversaries to the United States. Like Hitler, for instance, is seen as this brilliant Machiavellian, you know, bad guy who knew exactly what he was doing. And he was actually kind of a dumb guy. You don't hear that very often, but he was just a dumb guy who was very lucky to come into power and was able to do like just horrible shit.
Reminds me of someone else.
Oh, thanks, Anna.
Trump.
Oh, I thought you were looking at me.
Yo, what's going on, Jack?
You're just like giving me a
look. When's
the
beer hall push?
It's just a terrifying thought, though. Like, people don't want to think about, like, oh, this idiot came into power. Because we want to think, oh, well, shoot, if we're letting someone into power, they've got to be way smarter than us. And that's sadly not the case.
Not always the case, yeah.
That's real sad.
It's interesting that it's something that started off as like, you know, obviously there were darker motivations in certain instances, but for the most part, it was used to like just stop the spread of communism by having the Western influence in countries that seemed vulnerable. And like, rather than like marching our tanks up into their countries and be like, okay, this is part of the U.S. territory now, it's like, it was more nuanced, like, well, let's just get our people in there and they can run the government, or let's, you know, have them get saddled with debt. With infrastructure projects they can't pay, and then, you know, we can lean on them when they have to pay their bills, and that's how we can exert our influence.
There's an interesting book Miles and I were both talking about when we were preparing for this called Confessions of an Economic Hitman that talks about another way that the U.S. has tried to, you know, exert control. It's basically a guy who worked for – was it one of the central banks?
No, he worked for one of those like massive engineering firms.
Right. Okay.
That would like build the projects.
Right.
Like,
they would come in, get huge projects to, you know, build the infrastructure of these struggling up and coming countries. And then, you know, that would in turn put them into debt to the World Bank. And then, you know, the idea is that America controls the World Bank, and, you know, they would get those countries in you know, the way a mobster is like, yo, you owe me.
Yeah, you okay, what do we do? Okay, you see that little socialist uprising little group over there?
Take them down.
Fucking kill them.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's a controversial book. It's but it is an interesting read.
Yeah, there are some things that are contested in there. But I think, at the very least, it lays out the strategy pretty clearly for you to understand, even if the details may be, you know, debatable at times. Right.
All right, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after that. And we're back, and
what a break.
The tax vote, like we mentioned earlier, is going down. Probably by the time you listen to this, we will have a new tax code in place. It's interesting. So it's very unpopular, wildly unpopular. And the Republicans' response to that unpopularity, Miles, you found this clip.
It's just, I mean, so look, before I even play the clip, right? People don't like it because most people understand that it does fuck all for the middle class. Like, those tax cuts are temporary. And this newest version, it ends up benefiting the rich even way more than before the bill went into conference. So it's wild as fuck. And people are just like, this is straight garbage. I think the Wells Fargo CEO was like, yeah, this money isn't going to go into, like, you know, investing in, like, expanding our business. It's just going to go back to shareholders and things like that. And many other people said, oh, this will really help the banking sector, too. So we know who benefits from this, right? And the long-term effects are going to be insane, especially when you think about how this $1.5 trillion debt is going to be paid for. Like, on one side, people are very worried that clearly this is all going to fall on the middle class and millennials, too, basically over time. Or if it's like Paul Ryan's wet dream, he's going to get rid of all these sort of programs like Social Security and like Medicaid, and then that's how he'll pay for it. So we'll just like screw over elderly and vulnerable children and like the poor. Mm-hmm. So
get rid of one of those CDC barred words, entitlements.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like things that people get right now that they are entitled to, like healthcare, being able to live.
Right. And people realize this also repeals the Obamacare mandate. So that makes people very vulnerable in terms of their health insurance. Although Susan Collins, you know, Mitch McConnell told her that he would promise her that he would vote to put in bills that would help stave off some of the negative effects from that. But I don't know how the fuck you're going to trust Mitch McConnell. So again, suffice it to say, people think it's unpopular and the effects are scaring the shit out of people, which is why there are a lot of demonstrations. So cut to today. And
when you say there are a lot of demonstrations, protesters are getting arrested, right?
Like, yeah, there are people like getting dragged out again. There was, oh my God, you see the video of the guy with ALS begging Jeff Flake to not vote for the tax bill?
It's wild. Yeah, he was interviewed, the guy who was on his flight with him.
Yeah, yeah. And like looked at him and he's like, please don't, like, my life depends on this. And like Jeff Flake was like, I forget what the answer was. It's like ridiculous. We'll put a link to it. But anyway. So it's massively unpopular and it could do a lot of damage. So this morning, Representative Peter Roskam from Illinois is a Republican. He was on the House Senate Conference Committee on the taxes. He was trying to tell people, hey, look, maybe polling bad. It's not that bad. So here, listen to this clip.
Those who oppose the GOP tax plan have actually gone up. In other words, the opposition has risen from just last month. It was 45% to now 55%. Does it worry you that the majority of Americans don't seem to like this?
No, in fact, it creates low expectations, and I think that this is going to be far more pleasant for people.
That's
what the fuck?
Answer.
Did he just really say that?
That's
creates lower expectations.
Right.
I don't know, man. You want low expectations? Put a fucked up picture of yourself on Tinder.
Right.
And then if you show up on the date, then you benefit from that. This is like crazy. Like I don't understand the logic that it's going to be a lot more pleasant. That's like how you describe a wisdom tooth removal procedure.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's going to be a lot more pleasant than you think.
A lot more pleasant than the lowered expectations we have led you to have.
Right.
Right.
That's wild.
So that's kind of the state of things, which is why the temperature, I think, is rising in the country.
It's bad times to be an American who's not incredibly wealthy.
And people say, like, especially because, you know, I think we were going to touch on this, but Bob Corker, right, he was all about, yo, the deficit. I can't support this bill if we don't control the deficit. And then, like, magically last week, he was like, okay, I'm for it. And then we come to find out that language was added that would basically directly benefit him as, like, a big real estate owner and business person. that he would like, he made like $7 million off real estate last year, and he would save like another like $1.5 million because of this new thing that was added. And then suddenly he's like, oh yeah, I'm for it. So it's, again, I think a lot of people think that this is probably the last like sort of gamble the Republicans have going into midterms is like, let's get this passed. The economy on paper will look like it's doing really well. I mean, the stock market is already looking cooler than it is, but they're going to use that going into the midterms to be like, you see what we did? But I don't know if that's, if people are really going to care at that point, especially if they start losing, like, I mean, down the road, their healthcare coverage and things like that.
So keep an eye on that. But I mean, I don't know that there's much that can be done at this point, other than just, you know, holding people accountable who voted for this bill, when it ends up fucking us.
Yeah.
So a couple updates on past stories. So yesterday we talked about the guy who was the head of the Department of Defense program that was monitoring on UFOs, essentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were all sorts of great details in that story. Hopefully you went to our site and clicked on the footnote and went to the thing, because there were details we didn't get to, like that they claim to have materials like metals and stuff from these UFOs, like in, you know, government warehouses, like it's fucking Indiana Jones. But anyways, the guy who headed that up and just resigned, Miles, you were pointing out, went to work for a company that is devoted to, you know, monitoring and looking for intelligent life.
It's called the To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science, founded by Blink-182 member Tom DeLong.
That is so crazy.
So old Tom DeLong. Because, he left Blink-182 to get serious about this UFO shit, didn't
right?
he?
And I was like, lunatic. Like, that guy's crazy.
And then
we can just write him off as a crazy Hollywood weirdo.
Did you just take the biggest L saying that about Tom DeLonge and then cut to that weird video of that spaceship, like that from the Navy
right,
pilot?
Exactly. Now I feel like an idiot.
Well, that's what you get. Don't talk spicy about Tom DeLonge.
Exactly. He knew it was out there.
Yeah.
He knew the whole time. He was just like, where are you?
Yeah. And he was saying in this article, there's like they're talking to him that what you saw yesterday from that New York Times article is just the beginning.
Right.
It's just the beginning. And like, he was acting like as if he's like, he flies around in a spaceship and just can't tell anybody, but he was like,
Tom DeLonge.
Yeah. But then in the article, he also said like, there's another guy claiming to be working on like a form of time travel or like light speed travel. So again, I guess who knows how. Maybe that's true. Maybe it isn't. But at the very least, this very reputable guy from the DOD is now working for that group. So shout outs to Blink-182.
As is the aviation billionaire who is convinced that Earth has been visited by intelligent life.
Yeah.
And they make the point. We talked about whether there were UFOs, like the alien sightings from other countries.
Right.
And there are. It's just taken more seriously by the government in other countries.
Oh, like, really?
It doesn't have the stigma that it has in America. In America, talking about UFOs, like that's why it was kind of ballsy of the New York Times to actually report on this, because talking about UFOs, people are just like, oh, you're crazy. You're a Tom DeLonge.
Yeah.
And
paying attention to all the small things.
Yeah. It turns out that other countries, they just take it more seriously. They have like actual government branches that look into this shit.
Dude, we live in the shittiest country, man. Like, we're gaslighting people who like legit saw it and it's like, nah, you fucking idiot, you crazy fuck. No, there's nothing like that.
Right. So,
we just
that,
don't.
That story only gets more interesting for Blink-182 fans.
I know, dude. I hope like Tom DeLonge just like laughs at Travis Barker and Mark from like his hover jet or whatever. Yeah. It's like, take that, assholes, I'm out.
Is he still wearing like skate shorts when he's out here telling people about?
I haven't seen a picture of him recently.
But almost definitely.
But he must be. Yeah. If he's not wearing DVS sneakers, I'm going to be really mad. Or right. Airwalks.
And then a really positive update. So Ars Technica, a outlet known for being way smarter than us, or at least me, came out with an article fairly recently calling bullshit on the article we reported on last week about phones causing cancer.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. So they're basically saying that the reporting is based on really like partial information, and that just all of the studies that have been done, they like really dig into the details. They're like, First of all, it only caused tumors in male rats, and they were exposing their entire bodies to like massive radiation for months, for 9 months, like 9 hours a day. I don't know why all those nines are in there. I'm probably getting that wrong. But, and it was like barely statistically relevant that the cancer that was caused. And they also pointed out that, you know, radio waves is what we're talking about when we talk about the radiation. And, you know, we've been having radio waves pass through us for a long time now.
Right.
You know, there have been radio waves flying all over the place our whole lives. So it's, you know.
So we don't have to put the phone on arm's length away when we're charging it at night?
It's still, I mean, I'm still doing that because, I don't know. Like they said, the science is not definitive one way or another, but there's not really rock solid science that we need to be worried about at this point.
So also for everybody who was laughing at me for my cell phone holder, that was a jock strap. now y'all are looking stupid again. So haha. Also go to my Twitter page. I have an Etsy page where I'm selling my jock strap cell phone holder.
Maggie, it's been a blast having you here.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people follow you?
I'm on Twitter at Maggie May Haha, and May is M-A-Y-E.
I was trying to find you on Twitter yesterday, and like I was searching your name and it wouldn't come up, but then I found it through your website. But what's your display name on Twitter?
Oh, Trilly Wonka.
Okay.
Trilly Wonka.
Because I was
so
like,
good.
I think this is her, but I was like, yeah, Trilly Wonka sounds right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Miles, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can follow me at Jack_OBRIEN. You can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We are at Just Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We have a Facebook fan page. Just search Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we also link off to the articles that we use as sources. Miles is really sleeping on that one. Oh, and I almost forgot, thanks to SHXXLXN, or SH__L_N, as it's written in the handle, for the Cuck Norris thing up top. Forgot to thank you up top, probably because your name is completely unpronounceable. But thank you. That was a good AKA, man. Or woman. And hey, Miles, what are we gonna ride out on today?
Dude, you know, we gotta give it up to the god MC, Tom DeLonge, the UFO master, the man who knew the truth was out there the whole time. Y'all laughed at him, but I guess now there's no better time to play a Blink-182 song. So what better song to go out on than All the Small Things? Because who knows, maybe this song was about aliens if we really look closer.
All the small little men who I have seen.
True care, truth brings. I'll take one lift, your ride, best trip. Always I know you'll be at my show, watching, waiting, commiserating. He's talking to the aliens, for sure.
For sure. That is going to do it for today's show. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye. She can't.